Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Thanks again for turning into the Heralds of Nerdage.
Are we going to do like a soft take? Like
we're doing it soft and sensual tonight.
Thanks for calling. Maybe next week we'll have some more time. We'll take some more callers.
On the delicious dish.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Very similar.
Thank you. Thank you,
Chaz. Let's not do that. Let's do it the real way.
All right.
Here we go. We're back again. Ready to deliver you some sweet nerd knowledge. As only we can, with the humor you've come to love, or will learn to love if this is your first time here. Welcome.
Mm-hmm. Welcome I do back. Stand up every 2 weeks. Did you know that?
You do?
Yeah, it's called a podcast.
I was going to say I stand up every day.
We should definitely just stay with our podcast.
I think so. Stand up comedy, maybe not my forte.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Who knows? But
you never know.
This is a podcast about nerd stuff, not about my stand-up comedy career or lack thereof.
Yeah.
So let's get right to it. Let's talk some comics.
Bring it!
I have to say, it has been a very heavy 2 weeks in terms of Marvel releases.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten every Avengers title.
Mm-hmm.
And every X title.
Definitely.
And we've gotten at least 3 consecutive weeks of Spider-Man.
We have,
which this is the first time I can honestly say it's 3 weeks of Spider-Man that I've enjoyed. I haven't been like, oh man, 3 weeks of Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think the last time it was 3 weeks of Spider-Man, it started like the beginning of Brand New Day.
Oh yeah.
Which was sort of downhill, and then it started picking up steam towards the end.
There's so many gems within Brand New Day, but there's so much rough to that.
Yes,
it's almost not even worth it to say, like, here's what you should read in Brand New Day. Forget Brand New Day. Read The Grim Hunt. And then read Big Time.
Yeah.
You're golden.
So like you were just talking about, we were just referring to Spider-Man. This issue kind of closed the door somewhat on the, I guess, the new Spider-Slayer arc with the new Lizard and the new, you know, Alistair Smythe
definitely
being back. I don't know. I mean, the last issue, there was a death in the issue, and I'm not really going to say who, but this issue, they touched upon it and they showed everyone's reaction, and it was a very well done episode. You know, Peter struggling with if I had actually used my powers to their full potential, could I have stopped this? You know, if I had taken one life to save another, does that
right?
You know,
very
is
much
that the
almost.
Way?
It seems like Peter does this a lot in terms of guilt over what's happened because of him and his inaction or his actions in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like the first time where it's felt more than just whiny.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of times to me it comes off as whiny, like, oh, look at this hard life I have to live now because of this.
Mm-hmm.
This was like, wow, it's a good, honest look at it, and it's really good. And the artist in the newest arc right now, Marcus Martin, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
His Spider-Man stuff is great.
Yeah, it was really good.
Very emotional, just in terms of, like, the drawings of the face and the, you know, I don't know.
It seems to me like it's kind of a throwback to the old era style drawing, too.
Oh, definitely.
Not like this super, super heavy-duty, muscly,
right,
you know,
yeah,
like,
he's
beads of sweat.
Marcus Martin is always very, very scaled back, very, almost like minimalist in a sense, but
it gets the point across.
It does. It's gorgeous.
It was a great book. I definitely recommend, you know, when picking that up if you can.
Oh yeah, get on out there.
Pick up the past couple of issues. Ask for, if you go to a comic shop and you're like, oh, I'm looking for Amazing Spider-Man cover, and guy's like, okay, which one? Say, hey, I want the previous like 4 or 5 books, the ones that deal with the Spider Slayers.
Pick up the first Big Time trade, which had the awesome new Hobgoblin and art by Umberto Ramos, who was awesome as well.
He is.
And then the Spider Slayer issues with, forget his name right now, Caselli on art. And then this newest issue, Spider-Man's been great.
It has been.
The issue that came out last week, the .1 issue, was really good.
Especially how it told the tale of Venom.
Exactly. The new Venom, which I don't know. It's been 2 weeks since they kind of introduced him, and I'm sure it's all over the web. Should we say it?
Yeah.
Flash Thompson. What are your thoughts?
I think it's great. I mean, what better character to put in the role of the new Venom than Flash. I mean,
exactly.
He's been in the Marvel Universe for a real long time, and yes, he's an American hero, and they sent him to Iraq and all the big, you know, the wars and
took
whatnot.
His legs.
Yep, they did, so they're finally giving him something back, but at what cost is the real thing?
This is true.
Like, I'm already kind of cringing because I want Flash to succeed. Like,
yeah.
I really want him to be,
for him.
Like, the Venom that, you know, like a lethal protector.
Right.
But not so much demented.
Yeah. It's really a battle of me wanting to see this new Venom, but mm-hmm. the other half of me saying, it's Flash Thompson.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this, like, one really good person in the Marvel Universe corrupted.
Yeah. And,
you know?
They sort of, like, did a bit of that in the last issue.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, even cringing more, but... I don't know. It could be that he might be the first to conquer it. It could be that, you know, they strip him away and they make him, like, something else to combat this Venom. Who knows? But
yeah.
It's really early to tell. The new series hasn't even launched yet. They've all been, like, backstories and the ends of the Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
So
the sort of the development
mm-hmm.
of the character.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting.
It's exciting.
I'm looking forward to it. I already signed up for it, like, the second they announced it.
Yeah.
I was really stoked.
And he's not all huge and buff and crazy and, you
know,
like,
the way
that Venom normally is always portrayed. And sometimes it works because you think he's this big hulking monster. He's everything that Spider-Man's not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool seeing him.
He can
him
be
like
whatever they want as long as...
slim down.
As long as the host has control.
Right.
You know, obviously when Brock did it, he was a true symbiote, but he sort of let the suit run more of his life than
Matt Gargan kind of wanted to be all big and huge. And
Matt Gargan
Scorpion.
Just let the suit run.
Oh man,
and he was all for it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that was a good part of Thunderbolts was Matt Gargan Venom. But
it was actually
he makes a really cool lizard again. I will say that much.
Yeah, it was great. But I'm looking forward to that. The new Venom. It looks like it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to see how they do it. And to just see the outcome.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to the next issue of Spider-Man, too.
Yeah.
I feel weird saying that. It's true.
It is, considering the fact how DC you are.
This is true.
For you to say, I'm looking forward to Spider-Man.
I am very DC. I have Marvel tendencies, too. I do read an amount of Marvel. Not
mm-hmm.
not as much as DC, of course, but,
right.
You know. This Spider-Man arc has been incredible.
Yeah, it has.
There's no denying that.
Mm-hmm.
And even Ultimate Spider-Man lately has been awesome, too.
It has been. They're starting up the new arc for the Death of Spider-Man. So we had another prelude chapter, which kind of makes me laugh because it's like, how many preludes can you have
right.
before it's like, all right, dude, you're telling the story.
Yeah, like just get
just
to
call
it
chapter one,
right.
You know, part one. But it started the Death of Spider-Man arc, and it was more Mysterio, Kitty Pryde. Not Kitty Pryde, but Black Cat and Spider-Man being trained by Tony Stark. And, you know, MJ was there. It's kind of like, it's really starting to gather up all the key players.
Yeah, definitely bringing everybody who's going to matter or be important to it onto the board.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so it started that, and, you know, it had to deal with I forget what the key was called, but it had to do
with... The Zodiac Key,
yeah, Mysterio and Black Cat were fighting over it, and it was a pretty good one, but like I said, I was a little bummed out that this is the second prelude. It's like,
right.
I would like to have seen more story now.
Leaning towards the actual
It's been 2 months,
story.
Like, I get one book a month with Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right.
Let's pick up the pace.
Yeah. I'm a little worried that with the Zodiac Key, the whole thing that it does is make whatever the person thinks into a reality with
mm-hmm.
dangerous consequences if you're not focused.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, if they actually do kill off Spider-Man, they almost have this trapdoor.
Yeah.
They have this way of bringing him back, like, oh, don't worry, it wasn't just out there.
Someone
you know?
Else has the Zodiac Key. Aunt May finds it.
Right.
And
it's like,
oh, I wish Peter was
bam.
Here.
And she's the only person I imagine right now who would be, like, not distracted by anything else except for bringing her...
Nephew
essentially
back.
Your son back.
Well, I could see the conflict of, oh, where's my Ben?
Exactly, with his ponytail.
Yeah, there you
Ultimate
go.
Uncle Ben had a ponytail, if you don't remember. It was the coolest part of that issue.
I'm more worried that it's going to be kind of like an infinity gem for the Ultimate Universe.
I can see that.
And I can see it almost someone doing something as crazy as wiping out Ultimatum.
Ah.
A total restart.
I would not be opposed to that. Ultimatum was not my favorite storyline in the whole world.
It was rough.
It was death for death's sake. And then they canceled all the books that they were going to keep going with anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ultimate Spider-Man. Why do we have to cancel it? Didn't make sense. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, end result, not my favorite.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It was twist on top of twist. It was Doom. No, wait. It was a robot controlled by Doom.
Written by M. Night Shyamalan. What a twist.
Something. So. But yeah, I mean, it'll be... I'm still... I don't know if they're actually going to kill him or not. They very well could.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Spider-Man, so they couldn't. You know, like, there's no hints yet. It doesn't seem like to say...
No,
they are going to kill him for sure.
It's totally up in the air.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting in a sense.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Exactly.
Let's see. So we had a couple other books come out. We had a couple of the Green Lantern books come out. It's getting closer to the War of the Green Lanterns.
Yep.
They had more of a Krona backstory,
which was actually kind of cool.
It was nice to see it.
I will say this last issue was good, but a little bit weird. Of Green Lantern, sorry. This last issue of Green Lantern, which I think was number 62,
mm-hmm.
was a little bit weird for me.
That was the... Refresh my memory. Which one was that one again? That was...
That was Hal Jordan fighting Krona, who has all of the entities.
And Hector Hammond in the back, that's right.
Right. And Hector Hammond as the Orange Lantern, which was pretty cool. But there was a sort of a flash forward almost, or a something about... well, it's Hal in the fight, and then afterwards he's knocked out. And when he comes to, he has to make this decision
mm-hmm.
about what he's going to do, and he ends up leaving for space, which is going to kick off the War of the Green Lanterns, which
mm-hmm.
has to be in space. It can't be an Earthbound event like
right.
everything else. But it just was one of those things where it kind of made me wonder, was he really knocked out, or is this sort of playing out in his mind? Like
Repo Man?
Kind of.
For those who have seen the movie, or Memento, or...
Or like... Yeah, or like Inception, like maybe he's knocked out and now they're in his brain.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they're trying to do what they did with the original when he turned into Parallax the first time, which was instill all this doubt in him,
mm-hmm.
this kind of uncertainty. And the way that the Earth heroes are reacting and talking to him is kind of like Bruce Wayne just came back and he's supposed to be like the best that he's ever been. And he's a total just jerk. You know, like... Without reason, you
yeah.
know, like, he should have known, like, hey, I've brushed up on all my events, you did a really great job tackling this threat, you know, hey, man.
Pat on pretty, the back,
yeah,
here it
you're
comes,
pretty
you
cool.
ready for
like,
it?
Right? You get a high five, you graduated, big boy, you know, like, but he's just, like, way too not the way that I imagined Bruce Wayne would be.
Yeah.
You know, so that for me was, like, is this really going on, or is maybe this taking place in his head?
I don't know. We'll definitely see.
I'm still not excited. Well, I'm excited, but I'm hesitant about the War of the Green Lanterns.
We'll see. I mean, like we had talked about earlier, I'm sort of almost a little burnt on the Green Lanterns. There's like a new event all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, dude, let's just do some small arcs and then do it. It's like, no, Blackest Night and Brightest Day are... Our Brightest Day is still going on.
Ending in 4 issues.
Right.
They
but
cut it back.
Blackest Night was just finished up.
Yeah.
Like.
Last year.
Yeah.
I will say that they introduced a new shadowy character in the last issue of Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of excited to see who that is because it looks like he knows a lot more behind the scenes type stuff.
Like, I think it's the one they call Geoff Johns.
He wrote himself into the book. He's the one who taught him how to wield the rings and build the Manhunters and blah, blah, blah.
It was interesting. Like a side note, though, it was interesting in, I think it was Green Lantern Corps, where the Weapon Master or Meister joined Sinestro's.
That was, yeah. I will say that was pretty boss.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how he comes into play in all this now.
Definitely.
And then just to see what Sinestro's role in this is, and I don't know.
It'll
I mean,
be a prominent role. It seems like Johns likes Sinestro, and not in the sense of, like, huge villain, but more anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
Which suits me just fine, because I love Sinestro.
I know you do.
I just bought the battery.
We'll talk
the
about that later.
Yellow power battery.
We'll talk about that a bit
That'll
later.
That'll be in the gear section.
Sure. so thinking of other books. There really hasn't been a lot coming out as far as independents. There has been one book I read. It's called Crossed. Now, I'm giving fair warning to everyone. This is not a book for everyone. In fact, you really have to be prepared. If you picture like The Walking Dead with more of like an X rating, as weird as that sounds, that's what this book is. It is messed up.
Right. It's not zombies. It's people who do the absolute worst imaginable things to other people.
I can't even begin to describe what they do because
we're a clean podcast.
We are, and I want to stay that way. But if you're in the mood for some really messed up, like, just gore and everything, and just a really messed up book, it's Crossed. And it sounds weird the way I describe it, but I don't know. It's something about it that makes me keep reading it.
Yeah, there's something about it that a lot of people keep reading it.
Is it a big selling book? I mean,
it's a decent selling content wise.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, it'd be something that a lot of people would be like, "Nope, can't do it. I'll pick up an issue because it looks interesting by the cover," and then they'll, you know, "No, mm-hmm. thank you." But it's a pretty decent seller.
I think what gets me is that in this book, it's sort of like The Walking Dead in regards to like, oh, you know, like everything's against this one group. But the thing about this is that you never find any survivors in this book. So it's kind of like just these core characters and that's it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that gets me is like, but they always have hope and there's always like this other meaning behind it. And, you know, they end the books different in every one. There's been three different books.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the third series.
Yeah.
Psychopath.
Right. The previous one was Family Matters and the one before that was just Crossed.
Yeah.
So
Cross is available now in a graphic novel format.
Yeah.
Maybe where you want to start. That one has more of a...
The first Cross is a bit watered down compared to these other ones.
I was going to say it has more of a story element to it.
It is.
It's a little less shock value. There's still a lot of shock value just in terms of these are characters that you were just introduced to and mm-hmm. how messed up they can be. But there's a lot more of a, like, character-wise what they do.
Mm-hmm.
To survive it. And then it felt like when the new writer took over, David Latham, he kind of went just crazy on the idea of people who just do terrible things to each other.
I could see like this board meeting going down. It's like, hey, we had this book called Cross. And the guy's like, oh yeah, I sort of read it. And it's like, well, we want you to go one step further.
Yeah.
It's like, how do I do that? Watch a bunch of these movies and then write a book about it. So it was... It's an interesting book. You know, like I said, just be well aware. Big parental advisory warning right
Maybe
now.
Maybe flip through it first before you pick it up.
Flip through it in the corner or else people are going to look at you funny.
You may be looking, who knows?
They might even look at you funny.
Maybe you'll run into a fan and they'll be like, hey, you're going to like that.
Yeah, and then when you, I get worried if two people who like Cross get together, I kind of see it happening.
That's fair enough, yeah. Let's paint our faces and do this.
Anyways, let's move on to a lighter subject.
All right.
How about All-Star Superman?
All right, moving on to the movies, okay.
Well, it's not necessarily a movie. It's just one of the greatest Superman books ever
this
written.
This is true. It is one of that book is like falling in love.
It's a great book.
It feels good.
It is. It's very warm and inviting.
It is.
Thank you, Grant Morrison.
It's awesome.
I hope you listen to this one section of the podcast of just us praising you on how good this book is.
Yeah. You and your Scottish accent.
Yeah. I'm not going to try and do it because I don't want to insult him right now.
I know I can't, so I'm not going to.
There you go. So anyway.
It's a great book. We've raved about it all the time.
They finally came out with the DVD that Chaz has been waiting for so long.
I have. Then when they announced it last year, I was going crazy over it. It's finally out. We both had a chance to watch it.
Yep.
Let's do some first impressions.
Start us up, Chaz, because you're the one who's most anticipated this. Start us off.
I was very much anticipating it, and I went in watching it with a fair share. I didn't say, here's my expectations for it. I knew this is the animated feature. It's not going to be the book. A little boring.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was.
Okay.
It was mostly the way the story was watered down, but still had enough of the elements of the book in it,
mm-hmm.
but they cut out some things that just little things that I would have liked to have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice actor for Superman was just flat, like mm-hmm. the whole movie. Like there was no inflection in his voice. He wasn't ever like excited about something or happy.
It seemed like he read right from the script.
He just read off the paper. Mm-hmm. Other people in it, you know, Jimmy Olsen, actor was great. Ed Asner as Perry White was awesome because he's Carl from Up, but he's also Granny Goodness in like all the DC Universe stuff, and probably Perry White and other stuff too. But
yeah.
You know, he's just an awesome voice actor, and he fits that role perfectly.
I even thought Luther was a great role.
Luther was pretty good, but I just always compare him to Clancy Brown.
That's true.
And you can't beat Clancy Brown. You can't beat Mr. Krabs.
No, you can't. Or the drill instructor from Starship Troopers.
Or the head guard from Shawshank Redemption.
That was a good movie, too.
Yeah. But back to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good,
mm-hmm.
but it was boring.
I'm with you. I thought it's still a good movie. It's still going to sit up on my bookshelf. I'll still bust it out every now and then and watch it. But I was a little bummed out on some of the things they cut as well. Like the ending, if you know the book, that was disappointing for me. Yeah. The ending that they portrayed in the animated feature was almost a 180 from what was portrayed in the book. And that kind of bummed me out.
It did. And I think the whole lead up to the ending with Luthor and the super serum and everything kind of bummed me out too, because in the movie he admits to stealing it from Superman, and in the book he claims that he created it, because he can't bring himself to admit that Superman's better than him in any way.
Right.
And in this one he's like, yeah, he made it and I stole it.
Yeah, you that's know, not like, very Luthor-like.
It's not. So that you know. Yeah, I just there's some things like I knew they weren't going to put in from the book, and I was okay with that. Like the Bizarro stuff, I would have liked to have seen it, but I knew, you know, for an hour and a half movie.
I was bummed that wasn't in there. I really thought they could have done that in there.
I thought they were going to do maybe like the Doomsday thing with Jimmy Olsen in a little bit of a bigger role.
Yeah, but Jimmy Olsen got just cut out
big time
altogether.
Yeah,
like his article wasn't in it, his day of running the entire like Moon Empire
project.
Yeah, like everything.
Dr. Quintum in the animated movie doesn't have the sweet coat that he has in the book,
the Technicolor dream coat.
Yeah. That he borrowed from Joseph.
Yeah, he's in there at the beginning, you know, like, and at the end, and that's it.
And how easy would it have been to just like rainbow color his coat in this era of digital everything, you know? Yeah. No, just one solid color will do it. No. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they do good with DC animated movies. They do good stuff, but this one, just a little lackluster.
It was, for such an amazing book that they could have drawn so much from. I mean, this could have been, like, the, like, animated movie to, like, beat all animated movies. Very easily.
I had high expectations for it before I remembered it's an adaptation, so I got to kind of lower them.
No.
But I think part of me still knew that there's so much, there's just that wealth of source material that it was like, oh, we'll take some from it. But, you know,
Yeah,
it
is what it is, I guess.
I don't know. The preview, though, on there for Green Lantern, Emerald Knights.
Yeah.
Looks pretty exciting.
I don't know. I don't think so. It's something about it that just, it's like, it doesn't really thrill me as much as I would have loved to have seen, like, a Batman and Robin.
See, the next one I hear is going to be Batman Year One, which I'm very excited for, animated-wise.
Okay. What about Batman Hush? Would you have liked to have seen that instead, or Batman Year One?
I'd go with Batman Year One.
Okay.
And then probably Batman and Robin, the first six issues.
That'd be cool.
That would be a cool adaptation. But that again, probably would fail to meet expectations, because they would cut out all the cool stuff.
Yeah, I bet they do like a Batman Return of Bruce Wayne, something like that.
That would be cool. An anthology.
Bruce Lane. Bruce
Cowboy Wayne. And 50s Detective Bruce Wayne.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
So, yeah, just lackluster. Best way for me to describe it.
I just call it average.
Yeah.
You know what I consider this? I consider this to be kind of like the Batman, or the, not the Batman, Superman, Public Enemy, but the Superman Shazam.
Oh, the short?
It was just like, okay, it was worth watching. I'll watch it every once in a while.
Let's talk nerds.
Okay.
Out of five.
I give it 3.
2.5. I give it straight average.
Okay.
Like, just right down the middle.
I gave it 3 because it's still a great story.
Yeah. The book's great.
The book. The book is the one that elevated it. That half nerd.
I'm separating. Because
every time
I'm separating the two.
I can't separate it. It's All Star Superman.
It is.
We're staring at the figure right now that I got from Best Buy.
And the figure's cool.
Yeah.
And also, I will say, I was a little disappointed that Superman murdered Solaris in the film. In the book, he's like, you'll live. Bam. In this one, he's like, I don't have any mercy. Bam.
It's whatever.
Implied that he's dead. It's a little against Superman code, but he was dying, so whatever.
He was a computer.
Living computer. Whatever.
Computer.
Semantics.
Anyways.
Okay.
So another movie that's coming out that has big battle scenes, thinking of that, is Battle for Los Angeles. It comes out this week.
I'm very excited for this.
I don't think I'm going to see it on this weekend. I think I'm going to wait till next weekend. I'm not going to make a special trip to see it.
I think I'm going to see it when it opens.
Are you?
I'm excited to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not that Friday, but eventually
mm-hmm.
in the course of that week. But it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. It's going to be interesting. I mean, it sounds like it's the first big blockbuster. I mean, I'm a little behind on movies right now, but it seems like this will be the first big event.
Yeah, I'll say this feels like the most, I don't want to say hyped up, but mm-hmm. definitely one that they're wanting to get people out there to see.
Because this almost seems like, and it actually is, it's the first real, original screen. That we haven't seen, that hasn't been
this is true
remade and whatnot. So
right. It's not a new take.
I give it props
characters.
Already for that.
Right, it's a very good start.
It's already starting with 1.5 nerds.
All right, it's got Aaron Eckhart in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe in Harvey Dent still.
I do. That was a great part of Dark Knight.
Yeah,
it's got Michelle Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other people whose names I don't remember, but that matter.
Hopefully they're not true listeners.
Who knows?
Maybe they can leave a comment section and sound off on who they are.
Right, that would be awesome. Tell us if you're in Battle Los Angeles.
Even character number 385, guy runs through street, you know?
First person blown up by aliens. But it looks cool, the whole documentary style almost.
Like a District 9.
A little bit, maybe less Cloverfield-y, I'm hoping. I don't mm-hmm. want that whole shaky cam the entire time, but, interesting visual images that they're putting together, so.
Yep.
Looks mm-hmm. kind of exciting.
Yeah.
That's this month.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. I don't know. We'll see. Thinking of how I mentioned it earlier, rehashing of movies. Let's take a few minutes. What are some movies, thinking of this, that you would not like to see remade?
All right. Let's make this a bit of a, maybe a once-a-month feature.
Like just some random thing?
Right. We'll just talk about movies that we don't want to see remade.
Okay.
All right.
And then, some other people maybe want to chime in and throw some...
Right. Let us know what movies you don't want to see remade.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hollywood, it seems right now, especially within these last couple of years, has been all about... Let's do this story.
Reboots.
Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do it modern. Let's mm-hmm. do it this way. Let's just remake it shot for shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll tell you right now. First thing I do not want to see remade.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the Future.
That's a classic movie that truly should not be retouched.
No, because even if they set it in the modern era, it's just not the same.
No, it's not.
It's.
No.
There's that chemistry between Doc Brown,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and Marty McFly.
Mm-hmm.
You're never... I don't know. I can't think of two different people who would be like, you know what? That makes me think of Doc Brown and Marty McFly. They should be in a movie together.
No, no one's even close to that.
Right. So that's one...
Knowing Hollywood, though, they'll find Ryan Reynolds and Harrison Ford be like, that's the worst.
Oh my god.
That's the worst combination ever.
Stop talking. You're giving them ideas.
No!
So, the 50s, the 80s, the sort of contrast between those two eras and everything, mm-hmm. You can't touch it. You can't change it. I don't want to see them change that. So, that's Back to the Future. I would not want to see them remake.
Yep.
What about you? What's something you do not want to see Hollywood?
They already did it. That was the worst part. I've been voicing my opinion for many, 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 many years. They did it anyways. It was Star Wars.
Well, did they really remake Star Wars?
They added to it.
That's true. But that was his original...
They touched it.
That was his original story this whole time.
I don't care. Just stick with the first four. And the first three. You know, 4, 5, and 6. That's right. It. And now there's talk, like, he's going back and he's remaking all of them in 3D. And now he's like, oh, maybe I'll do 7, 8, 9 while I'm at it. It's like, no, George. Stay. You did Jar Jar Binks. You hurt me enough. Don't hurt me anymore.
He had the really racist caricatures of space aliens and cultures.
But I guess if there was one movie that I would not like to see remade, is The Goonies.
Fair enough. I do not want to see them remake The Goonies.
I don't want to see them remake The Goonies, mostly because they can't. And there's also, for political reasons.
What? Political reasons.
Politically correct reasons.
Are you talking about Chunk?
Yes, okay. Chunk. I'm talking about Wang, Data Wang, and...
Oh.
But Chunk about, mainly.
Talking about Sloth. Hey, you guys!
Baby Ruth! Oh, but there's other reasons.
Yeah.
Goonies, you know, most of the childhood classics that we grew up with, you know?
Yeah.
What is there any...
There's another one that I would never want to see remade.
What's that?
Big Trouble in Little China.
You can't remake that.
You cannot.
Kurt Russell, it's old Jack Bauer, or what it was.
Jack Burton.
Jack Burton.
And you the Pork Chop Express. His buddy Wang. Saving his bride.
With the Asian with green eyes.
Yep. That's like leather bucket seats. It's an extra for those people. An actual line from the movie.
I know. Not, that's why
not
I'm
my
like,
thought.
I'm holding my head. I was right. Like, oh,
but you just can't. You can't remake it.
No,
you know, it's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
in like every sense of the word.
Dude, there's a guy who blows himself up.
Yeah,
by it's a guy who rides like, lightning,
shooting himself all huge.
They run over a guy in it.
Yeah, with a big rig,
which is awesome.
The entire movie, all Kurt Russell talks about is getting his truck back. Great.
It was a good movie. I really liked Big Trouble Little China.
I like it a lot. And
I can't see it, but I'm making that little L sign that they did.
To let them know they're cool.
Oh, he's got the L sign. Don't touch him. Don't touch him.
We're all right. So that's definitely one that, you know, do not remake.
Please.
If you had a second one to not remake for this installment, what would it be?
I wrote down some movies, and I'm actually going to go off the topic, or... off the paper and say Blazing Saddles.
Whew. I don't think you could remake that even if they wanted to. They're trying to censor Huck Finn.
Don't even think about trying to remake Blazing Saddles.
No way.
Any Mel Brooks film, how about that?
Fair enough. I don't want to see him remake any. Mel Brooks films are like perfect as they are. But in Blazing Saddles, I don't think you ever have to worry about the attempt to remake that.
I think if they went to try and remake it, they'd do like the first like opening credit scene and then be like, all right, everyone, we're shutting down.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did anybody look at the source material? There's so many end bombs in this.
Let's try to just like, just all the... Oh, just that movie.
It's a hilarious movie.
And
it's
really
is. It's not... It's intended to poke fun at the racism, I think, of the Old West and everything. But it's definitely not one
you better be prepared when you watch that movie.
It's going to be remade. That was an awesome choice.
Thank you. Thank you. I always do.
But give us your feedback. Let us know what you don't want to see Hollywood remake and, you know, some reasons why.
Yeah.
You know, not just a list of movies that you don't want to see remade.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some insight into your personality on why you don't want to see them.
Maybe we should go into our list for Blazing Saddles. Let's just uncensor it all right now and go into it. How fast will we be shut down on iTunes?
No more clean podcast.
Hey, maybe we'll get a new and noteworthy because of it, though.
Yeah,
with all the FCC fines.
Watch out.
Well, thinking of new items, dude, I tell you, like, I still watch cartoons.
As do I.
And I watch a lot of Cartoon Network and I mostly watch Adult Swim, but lately I've been watching a lot of Cartoon Network. And I tell you, dude, there's shows on there now that I just can't believe that it's just on there. And it's like, doesn't even, no censors, no nothing.
Right.
But it's totally different from when we grew up.
Like, oh, yeah.
I grew up in like, the age of Johnny Quest and like, you know, Thundar the Barbarian, Harvey Birdman, the original.
Birdman, you know, and the Galaxy Trio.
Yeah, like, exactly. You know, the Herculoids, like, all these cartoons when, like, it was, like, all about family and, like, oh, son, listen to your mother, you know, brush your teeth, ha, right. ha, ha. You know? But now, dude, you watch cartoons, like, a prime example is we just watched an episode of Regular Show.
Yep.
And there's a guy on there named Muscle Man. And he's like, everyone knows that a party always has chicks with breasts. Not mine, though. It's like, dude, how... Are you serious? That's hilarious.
Yeah,
but...
no, definitely cartoons lately, especially Cartoon Network, their 8 o'clock hour,
mm-hmm.
it seems, they're pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely aimed at the late teen audience almost.
Yeah. But it's not. It's like, it usually gets like an average of TV PG.
Right.
Like just regular people.
You grew up in the era that you were talking about. I grew up in more the TV Y7 era. Where things started to kind of get that rating.
Yeah, like, you had like, you Power know, Rangers and, right, and like, Spider-Man and like, X-Men.
Yeah, Batman.
Batman the Animated Series was like the first true dark TV show that came on there. But if you watch
Y7
it in...
FV.
Yeah, but if you watch it in today's standards, like, you'll notice that no one really has a gun. Or if they have a gun, they never really fire it. No one ever really dies. There's no ever blood or anything like that.
No.
But you watch cartoons now and there's blood all over the place.
Yeah.
People's arms get chopped off.
Or straight up just fighting.
Yeah, like, a lot. Like Finn and Jake.
Yeah, I mean, they go around. They're like, oh man, I want to fight something. And then they go find something, they beat it up.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
There's a lot of...
Adventure Time is a great show, and Regular Show I've come to love.
Yes.
Incredibly.
Please don't think we're like trying to diss any of these shows. No, I love them.
It's just amazing to think that like the era that we're growing up in now, like the children who are going to be exposed to this as children, you know... That's going to shape them for the rest of their lives. It's sort of like very surreal humor.
You know what it kind of seems like? It kind of seems like my generation who grew up with like Beavis and Butthead, who like snuck off like really late at night to watch these shows like Beavis and Butthead and, you know, like Liquid Television on MTV and the original Ren and Stimpy with John Camp was writing and directing. Those were like true pushing
like
the envelope.
Edgy.
Like MTV was owning those.
Right.
And it was total edge. And it seems like now, like, they're all my age, and now they're the writers in these shows, and they're writing, you know, comedy that I find funny now for kids.
Which is awesome.
Who are, like, way more mature these days to handle all this stuff.
Yeah.
But...
Thanks, Internet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Grew up way too fast. But,
yeah.
Dude, how does this make it seem? This makes it seem like old-timers, like, griping about this stuff.
It does. And that's not, like... It's just shocking. Almost.
It is.
And not in, like, the I'm appalled sense, but in the, like, wow, this is the future, almost. This is, like, people are going to watch this, and what are they going to do, you know? not with their lives, but, like, it's going to shape them. Like, I watched a lot of Pee-wee's Playhouse when I was a kid, and that oftentimes had, like, way old cartoons or, like, weird segment fillers of, like, his fridge.
With Lawrence Fishburne in it.
Yeah, like crazy dance contests and stuff. You know, like just really surreal stuff. And I know that makes me find surreal things very funny. But, you know, this type of humor, it's like, wow, very grown up.
Yeah.
Guess with breasts, you know.
but not mine.
Right.
You know, a lot of... It's really funny to watch all this stuff now and to see how it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Because I still have over in my collection, like, I have the original X-Men. I watched the original X-Men.
Oh, man.
And it's like, I can't believe I watched this stuff. This is so stupid compared to the X-Men that's on TV now. It's
right.
Like, I want to watch this again.
Yeah.
I want to go back in time.
Man, the
and remake Back to the Future. And
cheap back then.
Well, it's not necessarily the animation. It was mostly, like, even though they were really good stories, it was...
The animation, like, was pretty cheap.
It
Colossus
was.
Gets bigger when he armors up in that cartoon.
And it, like,
they
makes
draw
a glowing
him
flash. He, like, flashes up.
His clothes don't need to worry about. They grow with him.
I want his tailor.
And when they, like, run, you could tell that, like, they're really keeping costs low on that one. That was, the beauty. Like, the sad thing is when everyone griped about Marvel getting bought out by Disney, but there's so much more money for them to use now. Because you look at look at X-Men the Animated Series and look at Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
DC has been owned by Warner Brothers for so long. They had money to put into that animated show. And it shows. It holds up fairly well.
Thank you, Bruce.
To the test of time. Exactly. And then you look at X-Men and you're like, man, I can't wait to watch this. I loved this cartoon when I was a kid. And you're like, oh my God, now I know because I didn't know any better.
Just like the old Thundercats, which they're remaking, by the way.
Yeah, check that trailer out.
Yeah.
That CG one?
Mm-hmm.
Lion-O? Oh, man. It looks really cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Maybe not as cool as that fan-made movie trailer with Brad Pitt as Lion-O, but
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, we're watching it.
Then again, I haven't seen some World of Warcraft videos that Chaz just brought to light.
Leroy Jenkins.
I'm doing this.
At least I'm not chicken. All right. But back to cartoons. It's really cool. If you haven't had a chance to treat yourself to Adventure Time, a regular show,
yeah,
check it out. Monday nights at 8 o'clock, apart from the Mad TV that they show,
which that's is
one of the
dumb.
Dumbest TV shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's a pretty solid animation block.
Mm-hmm.
8:30, regular show starts.
And then Fridays, Fridays you got Ben 10 Ultimate Alien. You got Generation Rex. Our Generator Rex, Star Wars, Clone Wars, and then you got Young Justice. And sometimes they play a lot of Adventure Time and regular show before that as well. But Clone Wars is another example. Even though there is a bit of a warning ahead of time, I mean, it still comes on at like, you know, the 8:30, 9 o'clock range, which is kind of prime time for kids. But there's a lot of death in Clone Wars. Like,
it's a war.
It's not like, oh, hey, yeah, my lightsaber missed you, but you're going to faint. It's like, no, lightsabers go through them.
Right.
And you see their eyes, like, blank out. It's pretty intense. Yeah, like,
all right,
blasters to the head and everything. Like, they assassinate people in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty wizard.
It totally is wizard.
But plus, Liam Neeson was just on it.
He was. He reprised his role as Qui-Gon Jinn.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I'm very sad that I missed that.
Why are you sad?
I love Liam Neeson.
Don't be sad, little one.
Okay.
Don't be sad, little youngling.
Right before my head gets cut off.
His head didn't get cut off. Oh, you're talking of... You're thinking of...
Yeah, I
know. All right. Anyways, so... But yeah, I don't know. There's some other stuff going on. So, all right. Now I'm sure everyone's been waiting for this big moment. Chaz bought the Yellow Lantern prop replica, a 1-to-1 ratio scaled prop replica of the Sinestro Corps battery pack or battery.
Yep.
Let's hear it. Was it worth it?
Oh yeah, totally.
I think we should throw out some price numbers.
I love it. It runs $350.
Okay.
But it is a full size replica.
Mm-hmm.
I am a huge fan of Green Lantern. Anyways, I have the Green Lantern battery.
Mm-hmm.
As well, the 1-to-1, same price replica.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I won't lie. It's very cool. And it looks awesome on my desk.
I'm sure it looks even cooler next to the Green Lantern one.
I actually have it posed across the room like polar opposites.
Right. I'd see it no other way, though.
Yeah, it's definitely like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's one con to it. I put the order in for it about a year ago.
Yep.
It got delayed. It was originally supposed to come out in October of last year. It got pushed back to December. Then it got pushed back to February. So I've been waiting a very long time for this to come out. And I was very excited because I thought, oh, they're pushing it back because either more people want it and they have to make more, or they're tweaking it. They realized, hey, we can't send this out. Let's fix it up a bit and then let's put out a good quality product. So I was very excited. When I finally took it out of the box the other day, I have to say there's one thing that kind of disappointed me. In terms of this weight and quality, the ring that's included with it, that actually when you hold it up to the lantern face and make it light up, is one of the plastic rings that they gave out last year during Blackest Night.
That's dumb.
Yeah, the only thing that's different is it has a magnet in the front, which is what activates the light up feature. But
but if you're paying that much money, you might as well get a real replica.
And adjustable.
Yeah.
So with the Green Lantern one, it came with an actual metal ring that looks really nice. It's not intended to be worn, essentially, you know, because it's a proper replica. It's not the actual thing.
Right.
So, to me, that I don't care that it's metal and I can never wear it because I have fat fingers, because it's not meant to be worn.
Yeah.
So I hold it up to the light and it lights up, and I'm excited. I guess they got too many complaints about that because they decided to include a plastic adjustable ring with a small little snap in the bottom.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb.
And it's not painted any different. It doesn't have like the yellow with like a black face and then like the yellow symbol, which I thought would have been a real simple touch to add so it doesn't just look like the plastic one that I already own.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe you can color that in.
I could, but that's a little cheesy. $350. I'm not coloring anything myself.
Yeah.
I will say a pro to this one, which I think is very cool, and I'm kind of sad that they didn't do it on the green one. When you hold the ring up to it, it gradually lights up. like it would be as you're saying the oath, which I'll admit right now, I did.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not? You get the power battery. You're going to say the oath when you hold the ring up to it.
Sure.
So I hold the ring up, and I'm saying the oath, and it's lighting up just like it would be if it were real. It was the coolest moment of my life.
Okay.
Or one of, at least.
Okay.
It was probably second to starting this podcast. I just threw that.
Did you get your priorities in order?
Right. So, no, but it's very cool. It looks nice on my desk, like I said. It's very cool.
Okay.
And they're coming out with a red one. Stoked on it.
I might get that, but I just can't see myself spending that much for that. But then again, you know, I spent my money on other things.
This is true.
So,
I know that you are looking forward, I believe, to the Motorola Zoom.
Yeah, it just came out today, the 24th. So, whenever you guys listen to it, it should be available. It's Google's version of the iPad. And, you know, it's going to have Flash, which is the killer thing for me.
That is awesome. I will agree.
It's going to be upgradable to a 4G network, like over-the-air software upgrade.
All right.
Like, not, by the way, 3 months later, here's a new version. Right. No, it's...
Which iPad 2 is supposed to be coming out pretty soon as well.
They're supposed to announce it March 2nd. They just released the new MacBook Pro today. I'm a big tech junkie, so, like, I keep up with all this stuff.
And, this is definitely Peter's forte.
Yeah, like, the new MacBook Pro has a new port that I haven't really seen all the specs for. And so, after this podcast, I'll probably look into it. But there's supposed to be a new Thunderbolt port that's supposed to allow you to, like... do everything in one.
Wow.
So it's supposed to be really cool, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Shoot some lightning.
If it shoots some lightning, I don't think I'll get it.
I would. If it was directable, so yeah. It's not like, oh, it's shooting lightning, watch out. But like, ha, make me wait on this plane.
we'll see what happens.
Okay, so this is essentially what you said is...
an iPad killer.
Google's iPad.
Yeah.
Or Android... if you have an Android iPad.
If you have an Android phone, picture a giant phone with a 10-inch screen. But instead of that, instead of it being a phone, you know, obviously it's a tablet, so it's a lot more processing power. And come to find out that when the developers were making this, that this tablet was the software that you use for it. It's called the Honeycomb software. It was originally intended.
Yeah.
Everyone's going
to
be doing that.
I was waiting.
But it's actually, this is the way it was meant to be. The Android software was designed for tablets, not for cell phones. They just reworked it to work on a cell phone. So it's going to be interesting to see the full power of the Android processor.
It is kind of exciting.
Or the Google processor.
I'm kind of excited to see what it can do.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely. And it's a Verizon exclusive?
Right? As of now, yeah. But yeah. We'll see what happens. So... I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully by the next time I do a podcast, I have one, and I can tell you.
Maybe we'll be podcasting from it.
You can. That's the joy of it. You can do whatever you want with it. I mean, it's a Google phone, so it's open OS. Anyone can develop software for it. It's not closed software. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's got Flash.
Yep. So you can watch stuff on it.
Watch your regular show.
Yep. I don't know. Chaz, is there anything else that you want to add to this?
Stay gold.
Okay. Words of wisdom. So, all right, guys.
What an ending.
We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we will. Enjoy your comics and your movies and your TV shows. Watch regular show. Support your local comic shops. Keep listening.
What happened to just stay gold?
Gold. Oh, wait. And don't forget to leave us a comment. Let us know what movie you do not want to see Hollywood remake. We'll talk about it the next podcast. Whatever you comment with, we'll talk about. Now you can stay gold.
Later.
See ya.